Well, good morning, almost afternoon. Can you hear me? Okay, good. Well, we heard it already in one of the prayers this morning, and it's somebody just said the simple word to the Lord and told him that he loves him. What a wonderful thing that is, that we can say that. That's very liberating and transforming. And this is, in a certain way, it's picking up on the same subject which Joey was alluding to last week in many different ways. But I even told Joey after the meeting, I said, they're going to think that we were in collusion. And I said, we were. The problem is we didn't have any communication with each other. So, and I've been working on this for quite some time, for at least a month, if not longer, this message. So I've got to pare it down, of course. That's always the challenge. So the title of this is God's Love, or Agape Love. And you may think this section of the scripture, I believe, is one that I heard many times in Calvary Chapel in the early 70s, this section of the scripture. So we're going to, some of these things we'll be going over. Let's turn to John chapter 21, and we're just going to deal with verses 14 through 19. Let me read that. Now, this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you did not wish. And he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Let me just pray here. Lord, we thank you that we can say that we love you, Lord, that this is something that we're tried on, but we thank you that you first loved us and have given us the ability to say this, and that was expressed so wonderfully by our brother Dan this morning. We would have no life without you, Lord. So we need your life now to hear. We need you to help us stand on our feet, sort of speak, to open our ears and open my mouth, Lord. We're totally dependent upon you. Certain way we wish it wasn't this way, but we know that's the way it has to be, and we're grateful for it, Lord. So we ask for your help in every way now, in Jesus' name. Now, I think the problem with human nature and the problem with Peter and the problem with myself many times is that I interject my perspective into the lives of other people. But maybe sometimes we fail to see that God's not just talking to Peter here. Because I believe, as many have said, that from every page of the Bible, there's practical lessons to life. And I believe in this section of the Bible, we could actually change our name with Peter here. And we could go. And we know that the Lord has asked us this very question many different times. And I'd like to, let me see if I can share the screen. I'd like us to stay in John chapter 21, but I'll share some other verses here. And this is where let me backtrack here a little bit. I believe this is a practical lesson for life. And I believe these lessons, this is why the Bible is so important, can be literally found on every page of the Bible. But this is a great test, I believe, for Peter and for us. And in verse 14, now it says, now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Well, that was probably according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which we're not going to go to today, that this is true for a group of the disciples, but this is actually probably the fourth time that the Lord appeared to Peter specifically. And we've heard this message maybe different times, but it's three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. And we know what else happened three times. Three times Peter denied the Lord Jesus. And two times Jesus says, do you love me with a godly love? That's the word agape. Do you agape me? And this is and many have done have talked about this, but this is a God's love. Let's just put it that way. We could title this message just God's love. It doesn't have its origin on earth. And it's a sacrificial love. And Peter's answer for the first question is I love you with phileo love in the Greek. Now, of course, I don't know Greek, but I'm repeating what I've heard and I believe it to be true. And he said, I love you with a brotherly love. And I think this will make more sense as we close this section of the Bible of why Peter actually said this. And I think it's a true answer. And so then Jesus asked Peter again, he says, do you agape me? Do you love me? And again, he answers, I love you with a brotherly love, phileo. And then he says, again, the third time Jesus says, do you love me? And he asks, do you love me with a brotherly love? And he answers them again the same thing. But, you know, Peter, we know the famous verse is that he said, although all men deny you, you could even finish the quote, I will not. Now, we always associate that with Peter, but if we go back in the scripture, we'll see that everyone else said the same thing at that point. But Peter was kind of the leader of the band. And we know that, you know, we can have intentions. And Jan and I chuckled this week because we loved what somebody said in a movie, believe it or not. And this is what it was. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Tell him your intentions. I like that. Because God knows what's inside of us. He knows who we are. So in verse 15, it says, now after they had eaten breakfast, now this is, Jesus came here on this mission. And I love the little details that are in there in the Word of God. This is not a message Peter could have had during breakfast, because he wouldn't have been eating his food at all. But he let him have it after breakfast. And it's interesting here in verse 15 that Jesus said to Simon Peter, now these are John's words, Simon Peter, this is the title that Jesus had renamed him of, but look what he calls him, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, I'll try sharing the screen here. This is again when Peter was tested, Luke 22, 31 through 32. And the Lord's, do you see the screen, everyone? Okay. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, this is a fulfillment. Now, I have to figure out how to stop this share. Let's see. Okay. Got it. So it's interesting that he calls him by his natural name in this spot, where he gave him a new name from his revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go to that, but we know that's when Jesus gave him a new name. But now it's like he's saying to him, remember where you've come from and how far I brought you. And I think we could all proclaim that and have a testimony meeting right now about what the Lord has done in our lives. But it's good to remember where we came from, and we all, one way or the other, came out of Egypt, so to speak, came out of the world and came out of a natural life into the Lord Jesus. But here in verse 15, he says, interesting thing, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? So now you are kind of the ringleader. Now, do you love me more than these, as in Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and two others that aren't named here? And you know, Peter couldn't say that because he doesn't know that. And many also said in reading commentaries, he said that he may have also been saying, and a lot of people believe he was saying both, do you love me more than the profession that you have had before you were called, that being a fisherman? Have you ever met a commercial fisherman? I have. I've known one. You know what about a commercial fisherman? They almost breathe salt water. I mean, they're so involved in fishing and every part about fishing. It's their life. And this touches us, you know. I'm probably guilty of this to some extent. And some people will probably raise their hand in the background and they'll say, well, to a lot extent, but to valuing the profession, you know, and the work that we have and getting so engrossed of it, sometimes we lose perspective on what's really important. And we know that, that when, Peter and Andrew were called, it says that immediately in the beginning of Jesus's ministry, the word in Matthew 4:20 says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. So somehow they found themselves back here fishing. Who knows why? Who knows when? They had just been given, they had witnessed, they've been eyewitnesses to the greatest story ever told. And if their message of the gospel was not successful, now this is not hyperbole, we would not be sitting here. I mean, unless they carried that message onto the world in the power of the Holy Spirit, we would not be there. I say that with confidence. Now, of course, it's all in God's timing and will. But they were out there fishing instead, and we know they were hitting their heads against the wall. You can read the rest of the story by going back a few verses. They had fished all night and not caught a thing. There's a reason for that. And sometimes when that happens in our lives, you know, we want to do something so bad and we're out, we're doing it. And have you ever had that feeling that I'm kind of hitting my head against the wall? I'm going nowhere here. Maybe God's trying to tell me something here. And I believe it was one of those moments. But we know the end of the story. We're sitting on this side, but we know they needed Pentecost at that time, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But here's the answer, which I love, though. Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." What a great thing it is that we can say we love the Lord. Now, the Lord has to, I'm just talking about myself, and I know you're like me, and I know you're like Peter. God has to ask this question thousands of times, I believe, because it inflects every single part of our life, from our profession to our families to everywhere. And we know Jesus said, "Unless you love me more than mother and father, you know, everything, you cannot be my disciple." We're tried on this. This is a test for Peter and a test for us. But thank goodness we can say what Peter said. And he says that he loves him. And the answer that Jesus says here, I mean, that then, and he links, and I want to see that he's linking it to him loving God is to feeding his sheep or his lambs. Now, why would Jesus link feeding God's house and God's people to the love of God, agape love? Because without it, like we said before, there was not going to be success with the gospel. They need to express that in a real way, in a powerful way. And this idea of us loving God and loving God's people are always linked together, I believe. In fact, it's not just about pastors, it's about every Christian. It says in the book of Romans, it said the gifts and the calling are without repentance. Everybody's been given gifts in the church, every single believer. But it's Satan's intention to stop the love of God in our lives. Now, that sounds strange, but this, I believe, is true. He'll do everything possible so that this doesn't find expression. It's like the sifting that Peter had to go through and that I believe we have to go through too. But to function in the church, we have to learn this lesson. I want to go to first, and I believe Peter did learn this lesson. I'll go back to sharing again. Hold on. Oh my God. So this is Peter. He could say later in his life, he could say in 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you have learned this," I'm putting that in parentheses myself, "since you have and learned this lesson and purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in the sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And 1 John 4:20, 4:20-21 says this: "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." So I have to admit, this is a hard lesson for me to learn in the Christian life. But I've had to learn this, and I'm not perfect in this. I fail in this many times, struggle with it all the time. But we have to learn to forgive one another to make progress in the Christian faith, because Christ forgave us. I've actually had, through the years, many times brothers and sisters have come to me, and I've probably gone to others too, okay? Not singling anybody out here, but have had a problem with a brother or a sister. And I've learned to say one thing when they come to me, it might share something that they've really got a problem. Well, first of all, have you talked to them about it? But second of all, if they're they're not willing to, your job, Mission Impossible, if you care to accept it, is to pray for that person. That's what we do. That's the secret of the Christian life here, of the agape love that we need to express, a sacrificial love. This is an answer to, do you love me? It's tested. It's tested by those type of things. I've actually had a few times people say, when I told them that's your job now to pray for that person, they've said, no, I can't do that. Well, probably there's not too much. God's going to bring them back to that point 1,000 times until we get past that. See, because sometimes, here I'm raising my hand again. I hope you see it here big. But we love our own opinions more than we're willing to love the Lord sometimes. And that can get in the way of the gifts that were meant to be used, the agape gifts that God has given us. In another place in the scripture, we know the story, we don't have time to go to it, but the Lord talks about the woman who, anointed the Lord, said, he who is forgiven much, loves much. We have to see this. And I have to say, and I've seen this in my own family, and it's a travesty. Many hold on to their opinions and grudges all the way to the grave, even God's people. It pains me to even say that, because we shouldn't. We of all people should bury the axe, sort of speak, go the extra mile and not allow that to have any room in our lives. This has to come back to the cross. I mean, we're still dealing with it in my family, the repercussions of unforgiveness. I'm not saying my immediate family, but the extended family. But let's go back to love in action, is what I'd call it. That's kind of love in action, is a praying in love for our brethren. And thank goodness we have one another. You know what? If we didn't have the prayers of God's people, somebody even said in a prayer here, I don't even think we'd be here. It's all of God's mercy that people have prayed for us and helped us. I mean, we can all look. We've had times of need, and the Lord's answered people's prayers. In fact, I'm pretty astounded. Even during this time of Zoom, that's one thing I'll say. It seems like practically every prayer we're praying as a group, at least in our study, appears to be getting answered. To the Lord's credit here. Okay, I want to jump down to, he says the same thing in verse 16, verse 17. He says, and he said to him the third time, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And isn't it a good thing to know that the Lord Jesus knows us better than ourselves? I think that takes a revelation too, but I've come to realize this, is that he certainly knows myself better than I do. And that's why he's fully worthy for us, of course, to commit our lives into his hands. But I want to skip on it, and I've got a few more things I want to say and then close here in looking at verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And 1 John 15, 12 and 13, I'll share the screen again. And this is a description of agape love. I actually found out that my brother-in-law wrote a song based upon this song, this verse. But he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So this is a description of what Jesus was telling him is really a description of this. Of course, this is what Jesus would do for all of us. And he's laid down his life for his friends, that being us, that we might share with him eternal life. What a gift this is. But this is also a principle of life in the Christian, in following the Lord. And how do we follow the Lord? And how do we, I love that song that says, I don't know what I might even be called, titled by this, but it goes something like this: into the love of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go. Now, how does that happen? Because I think Peter really could only talk about phileo love at this point, and I think he was being honest. And so how can we have agape love towards God, loving God, like we said, being able to tell God we love him? And how can we have agape love towards God's people? Again, Romans 5, verse 5 says this. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So there it is. It doesn't matter. And I want to say this, and I know you guys in a lot, so many different ways, are so far ahead of me down the road, but I want to say this just in case somebody is deceived on this idea of agape love and the love of God. The hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been, past tense, poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So even if we're not living in it, it's there. It's been like a flash on a camera. It's been flashed onto into our hearts. The love of God is in our hearts. That's a fact, number one, of the Christian life. We heard that in prayer today too. In John 7, 38, 39, I want to say this other verse. One of my favorite verses in this Bible, to be honest. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke. Now here's John putting perspective on this and what Jesus was speaking about, and why I believe Peter at that time could only say he had a phileo love towards, and he was being totally honest. He was being humble at this point, unlike before, bragging about how much he loved the Lord. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not glorified. Now, the moment we believe, we have two facts of life. I hope you bear with me raising my voice a little bit for emphasis, because it's really important. We have two facts of life here. The Spirit of God, the love of God. Now, don't just think the Spirit of God, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. The second fact is that because we believe, that's the condition, because we believe, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, some may even be thinking now, well, how can that be? It's not based on feeling. These are Christian facts. I mean, they really are. The Christ died and he rose from the dead. On that basis alone, and our faith in him, we've been given the love of God, and it's coming out of us in one form or the other. Some of the times the stream is not flowing very much, but it is a fact of the Christian life. Now, I love too what Ed Miller says, and I'm going to say it. How can we follow Jesus and what he says in this lesson of what he says, follow me? Well, Ed Miller says it clearly. Only Jesus can walk the Christian life. Only the agape love that's in our hearts gives us the ability to walk in the faith that he's given us. But this is a wonderful thing. If you don't believe it, and somehow the devil's robbed you of this, that you don't have the love of God in your heart, you're cheated. One of the greatest stories ever told here, this is a reality in the Christian life. We have to believe it to be able to walk in it. The devil has every intention to keep us from this truth and to keep us from fellowship with him. These are facts of life. And so we just need full dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. Yeah, that's a tall order. But again, something can be done by the Holy Spirit. But I love it. You know, this is not only probable, it's a fact. But the love of God, in just a brief review, is linked. What Jesus is saying to Peter, I believe, before Pentecost, and what Jesus is saying to us after Pentecost, is linked to our love of the brethren. But we should take confidence and take heart because we have access to it. And yet there's a mystery here. And the mystery is somehow God is looking for as much cooperation he can get from us to depend upon that life. And I think that's where it's hard in church life, because all of us here don't always walk by the Spirit. A lot of times we walk by the flesh, and that's where we have to forgive one another. And it's not just a one-time thing. We have to do it often and many times, daily, probably, if we're honest. But we're learning and we're progressing and more of the love of God. You know, one thing I can say about this fellowship, and I think Mike Jan would say this too, and probably the number one thing that kept Jan and I coming to the fellowship when we first showed up was not the preaching of God's word, although that's incredible because we have a gift in our fellowship and our Bible studies. We go through the word of God. And for the most part, we go through the Bible studies, we go line by line. But you know what impressed Jan and I and why we stayed? The love of God. We saw it. It was being expressed through God's people. And it's an amazing thing. It's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle. And praise the Lord. That's it. Why don't we have a brother or sister to close in prayer?
Unmute yourself.
Make sure to unmute yourself.
Lord Jesus said many times to his disciples, they will know me because you love one another. Lord, that they will see Christ in us because of our love for one another.
Beautiful.
These encouraging words, Lord, because we do get in our pockets of self, and it's been a challenge with this COVID, feeling estranged and feeling secluded. Lord, we thank you for this time that we know we're not alone and that our family is there and with us and praying, Lord, and we are praying with them. We thank you always facilitate your purpose in our lives, Lord. We don't even realize it, but Lord, you bring about the things that we can participate, Lord, that we can love one another. Lord, that love will be shown to those who don't know you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Just give us comfort. Give us encouragement. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us, even if we don't feel it. But Lord, just that we would accept that simple fact. And Lord, just pray that you will remind us continually throughout the day when we feel like such abject failures that Lord, it's all you, it's in you, and you will do in us. You are committed to us to complete what you began. Lord, we just thank you for that promise, and we stand in it. In Jesus'
name. Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you have answered our prayer this morning. We need the Holy Spirit to have ears to hear, and now we need the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in these truths. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for that river of life as a result of you depositing that love in our hearts. Lord, we just can't. Well, thank you for eternity for this, Lord. And Lord, the love of the brethren, we pray that you, there are many that are sick. We want to remember the Hannah family, all of them. We know how dear they are to you, and they're dear to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Lord, we want to thank you for a wonderful word this morning. For you, we thank you for our brother's heart, for you, and for your word, and the desire to share it, and also the gift that you've given him. So, for all these things, Father, we thank you this morning. Above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
The King who's coming again. Mm-hmm. And we thank you in his precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I have a few announcements real quick. The meetings throughout the week are normal. Next week, we've invited Ben Hurth to share the word with us, so keep him in prayer through the week. And then the brothers have a matter regarding sharing with a recent widow and her children. This was the family that we mentioned in our prayer meeting on Thursday. And since we don't have the opportunity to meet spontaneously after the meeting like we do in person, a few of us talked about gathering briefly at 6:30, the brothers having a 6:30 brief brothers meeting tonight before we act on sharing. Is that okay with the brothers if we just meet quickly, whoever can join together at 6:30 via Zoom?
Tonight.
We have, is that okay? Anybody object to that? Just to
say no.
Good.
Okay, then just at 6:30, there'll be our spontaneous called brothers meeting just for a brief time at 6:30. And Phil, you'll send out an invite, Phil?
Yes, I will.
Okay. And that is all. Any other announcements that we need to know of? Okay. May the Lord's peace be with you all this week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.